Good morning. Just after 8 o'clock, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday morning, same time, live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. The we is not mice in my pocket. You found that out last week. I want to thank everyone for filling in and helping out. But it starts with co-host Caleb Herring, former UNLV quarterback and the radio color voice for Rebels football on our sister station, ESPN The Leader. It's also Jose Sudden Death. Let me do what's on tap. Volante, a.k.a. the Vacation Kid. I had to give him another name, right?
The Vacation
Kid. Wait, what was the Quinceañera Kid?
Quinceañera Kid.
I like that one.
And, of course, the man responsible for you hearing us, producer Chris Magnum Chapman, who also has the horrible task of serving as the Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room reporter, a duty he would happily give up if it came between choosing my show and that gig, right?
You just did that to yourself.
Damn.
Go ahead. Tell them the truth, Chris. Tell them the truth.
We already know the truth. Yeah, I mean, I had to throw it out there. Yeah, anyways, I got him to be silent for a second.
What was the line from A Few Good Men? You can't handle the truth?
You would miss us terribly.
Another Tom Cruise reference? Your show's writing checks that your body can't cash or that your mind can't cash or whatever?
Hey, I want to know what show takes care of you better than me on holidays, when I win in poker. Tournaments.
That's it. Yeah.
Like Caleb said, we have a good union here, right?
He would miss us. Listen, the show's also streaming live on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live, on my personal page, on Caleb's page, on Jose's personal page, and the show's Facebook page, which is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. The show is live, and the phone line is open. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Man, I still can't believe Andrew Luck retired. Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. I'm Jose Sudden Death Volante, and it's time for What's on Tap. What's on Tap is brought to you by our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Go and check out cardinalfinancial.com. On Tap, besides talking a lot about Andrew Luck, we're going to have some guests on the phone today, which should be fun. We have UNLV head football coach Tony Sanchez, which should be a very, very good conversation.
Caleb's trying to muzzle me, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah, I helped you out there. Now they know at least everyone knows
so
you're trying to muzzle me.
You gave me a disclaimer.
I let you out. Okay, you happy about that? Was that nice?
All right, Tony, I hope you're listening. Just be ready. Not only that, from the Las Vegas Aviators, Jimmy Gemma will join us on the phone as well to give us his Aviators report. And, of course, all of our other stuff that we got going on, Nightcap, Blazin', and Fact This. That's What's on Tap. Thanks to Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com.
Fact This. Fact This. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact This.
Yeah, it's a fact. In the middle of the afternoon yesterday, news broke that Andrew Luck, after six seasons in the National Football League, is officially retiring. This is the third most shocking retirement in NFL history, in my opinion. I'll say the first was Barry Sanders, the second was Jim Brown, and the third would be Andrew Luck. I'd say the fourth might even be another Detroit Lion. Shocking enough, Calvin Johnson also, I think, shocked a lot of people when he retired after 10 years. The bottom line is, guys, is I don't think anyone expected this, especially the Indianapolis Colts fans that got wind of it in like the third quarter of the game. You know, Adam Schefter had to go in. Why would you tweet that out while the team is playing?
Well, I mean, you fast and first is the key in the news. That's how Adam Schefter's made his name. He's always the first guy breaking anything.
Yeah, but come on, man. Isn't there something called Kuth?
You're trying to get me to have it today?
I expect him to have it, yes. But then I also expect the fans to have it and not boo Andrew Luck while he's walking off the field.
That was terrible.
Like, I get that he shouldn't have tweeted it out, but you still shouldn't have booed
the guy.
Can
I tell you that?
Jesus Christ.
I got a really good opinion on that. I really do, because I felt the same way when I first saw it. I'm like, oh, my God, that is ridiculous. This guy is retiring because he's in pain in a brutal gladiatorial sport. So let the guy retire. But I thought about it also. You know what it's like, Caleb? It's like being in shock. When something really catastrophic happens for a second. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. And I think it's just a reaction because everyone just all of a sudden found out during the game. And it's like, is this real?
Right.
A guy takes off his jersey. So I think it was more in shock. I really believe, and I'm going to give the Indianapolis fans the benefit of the doubt and say, once it sets in, they take their medicine. Not that they're going to be happy. There is no way to be happy about Jacoby Brissett being your starting quarterback.
Not at all.
Okay, but in the same respect, I think they will calm down and realize what Andrew Luck meant to that city, that he poured his heart and soul out into every game he was able to play in, and that this guy quit the game because physically at this point in time, he just can't do it anymore.
I get that. So I get the settle down reaction part of it, but I think this speaks to a greater problem that people in America have as a culture, and it comes with that being fast and first, just knee-jerk reaction type thing. Nobody wants to think about what they're going to say before they say it anymore. And I think that's when you get that tweet and your first initial reaction is, I'm upset about it, you shouldn't then have the right to immediately react to the way that you do. Andrew Luck's at the game. He's there. He knows he's deciding to retire, and maybe he's trying to do it in his own time and break to the fans in the right way. Booing him like that after what he's given and what he's sacrificed for the team, how he's led the team out of the abyss, how he came back after no one thought he would come back last season with that shoulder injury and spun it around for 4,000 yards. After all that he's sacrificed, his body, literally his body, for the team, that franchise that has nothing without him, for to boo him like that, and one, maybe the final time he walks off the field, I don't think it's too much to ask to say, pause and think about what you're going to do here. Somebody's retiring, and if it's after 7 years as an NFL quarterback, and you're the cream of the crop as far as quarterback goes. He's a top, when he's healthy, maybe top five, top six quarterback in the NFL. So he's the cream of the crop as far as quarterbacks. Show a little respect. If he's retiring, it's with good reason. It's not like he's trying to. He's done everything he can do for the past 2 years to be healthy and available for the team, and he just can't. His body's betrayed him a little bit. Have some decency. Let the guy walk off the field on his own terms with a good feeling. If anything, applaud the guy. I mean, he made a decision for his life.
You're not going to applaud when you find out your quarterback is retiring in the middle of a preseason game.
And that's the thing. He's not property. He's not yours.
Especially
he's a person. First of all, you don't even write the check. The only person that has a right to cry is Jim Irsay.
Well,
he
can
cry.
He cried on the bus right now.
Nobody else has an ownership in him. Nobody else can decide what he's going to do.
I'm not denying that, but I lived that happening. I was working for the Detroit Lions radio network the day we called Black Tuesday when we got a message that Barry Sanders was going to retire.
Did you boo him?
It's like, oh my God, we didn't get a chance to because he didn't do it in the middle of a game. I will tell you this much. It hurt me tremendously, not just as a fan and everything else. It was part of my job. Financially, it hurt me. But I will tell you, man, you know, I looked at it like this. Yes, it was Barry Sanders' life, and yes, it is his body, and he can do what he wants with it. But also, I believe that he shared this beautiful light with the world, that he was given this unbelievable gift that he was given, and he shared it, and he took it away before it burned out. It's his prerogative to do that.
Yeah, but
I just felt bad about it as a fan. Especially a Detroit Lions fan, for the first time in my life, I got to puff out my chest and say, you know what, we can say we were the greatest at something. We had the greatest running back that ever lived. And he retires a year short of breaking Walter Payton's record and truly being able to say that. I got into an argument just 3 weeks ago with an Emmitt Smith fan about the greatest running back of all time.
Well, that guy's wrong.
I'm not going to disagree, Chris, but the point is there is a debate.
No, statistically,
he's not.
But here's the thing. Before you go off on a tangent about how much better Barry Sanders is than Emmitt Smith.
Well, we all know for saving this.
But if the fans in Indianapolis have anyone to be angry at, it's their general manager for failing to put a quality offensive line around this guy, which allowed him to take the beating that he consistently took. And look, and this isn't just an Andrew Luck thing. This goes back to Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was, he couldn't win until he had a defense.
Yeah.
Because this will be my knock on Peyton Manning until the day I die. The reason Peyton Manning did not win more Super Bowls, unlike Tom Brady, Peyton Manning refused to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
To allow the team to be better.
The team around him.
It was all about Peyton Manning. Whereas Brady, for as much as you can dislike the guy for being smug,
he takes pay cuts
all day.
He does whatever he has to do
to get more rings. He wants rings.
And now it doesn't hurt that he's married to a supermodel who makes more money than him.
Yeah, that's always good to have.
But you know, I mean, Peyton Manning, I'm sure, could have gone out and gotten that too. But it was all about Peyton. So if you want to be angry at someone, first of all, you're a loser franchise and you're a loser fan base, Indianapolis, for booing this guy.
That's some loser stuff to do.
But you've been blessed because you've had two of the best quarterbacks of their generation for the last 20 years. I'm a Jets fan. My team has gone through, me and Jose both through for the Jets. How many quarterbacks have you and I seen play for the Jets? I mean, does anyone remember Quincy Carter and Brooks Bollinger?
Oh, my God.
Quincy Brooks Carter Bollinger was legit.
Oh, my God, guys, I don't want to hear about it. So we had a guy with the Detroit Lions in my lifetime named Jeff Comlow. Why don't you Google him when you want to talk about horrible quarterbacks?
Booing him as he walks off his tree, him like one of those guys.
I'm not disputing it, but listen, here's three reasons to boo. The quarterback situation currently for the Indianapolis Colts, your starter is Jacoby Brissett. 5-12 career record with 13 career touchdowns.
That's on the general manager.
Then you have Philip Walker,
there you go,
is your backup, and boom, Chad Kelly hanging on for the third quarterback right
now. That is on the general manager.
I'm booing for them.
No, here's the thing. You guys won't remember this, but me and Jose will remember this. When Andrew Luck sat out the season,
I can't believe you're braving Chris Ballard for this.
The Colts had the third overall pick, right? It was a very quarterback top-heavy draft class. What did they do? They traded that third pick to the Jets, and the Jets took Sam Darnold. You think they wish they had that pick back?
Of course.
So they knew that Andrew Luck had injury issues. He had just missed an entire season. He was going to miss part of the upcoming season. Instead of picking a quarterback, they traded the pick to the Jets, who took probably the guy who's going to end up being the best quarterback in that class.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that maybe as the story unfolds with Andrew Luck and he comes out, I don't know if he's this kind of guy, but if more comes out from his agent or from people around Andrew Luck, because that's where it always comes from, right? The news is like from people, sources close to Andrew Luck.
People associated with Luck.
How much will the way that the Indianapolis Colts have handled his injuries be a factor in why he's retiring? This season alone, that injury in his
calf, bone, muscle, ankle,
all that, like, the reports that came out from the from in-house, from the team, from the general manager, the head coach, everybody talking about it within the Colts franchise, not a doctor, no medical doctor actually came out and said, this is what he's going through. How much does that play into the fact that he's retiring from them?
Well, maybe,
that they have no clue what they're doing or how to take care of him physically.
See, now you're the only one who can actually speak on that because you actually played the position and you played and you were in an NFL camp. So
the camp we're talking about right now.
Maybe they should have held on to Caleb Herring.
He's available.
You don't think Caleb Herring was on the phone yesterday? Come on now.
So here's a question for you, because I think what you're getting to could be pretty accurate. A lot of times they don't disclose that, right? Like the doctors won't disclose it. So,
absolutely not.
But
it sounded to me like an Achilles, like his Achilles was on they're saying calf. A calf is right above the Achilles.
Look at Kevin Durant, right? They kept saying calf injury.
Like I said, the team doctor, I don't remember the team doctor making a statement. The team doctor is still an employee of the Indianapolis Colts.
Well,
the in-house doctor is going to be filtered through whatever the team ownership wants it to say. It's not going to be a true statement to us. So Andrew Luck could be going through something completely more serious than what we know.
Caleb, know that that's the history.
You can't boo
that's
the guy. That's my whole point.
I am still, like I said, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt and saying it was shock. It happened. They booed, and I'll bet afterwards everyone, the normal people that booed on their way home are like, wow, we probably shouldn't have done that. I would have been that way.
But my initial reaction
would have been like, oh, my God. I mean, if Barry Sanders would have done that in the middle of a game and walked off and they said he was retired, I think the Silverdome fans, I don't think you would have heard anything. I think it would have been like a pin dropping. Like, did that really happen?
Yeah,
that
probably,
would have been
maybe more of an appropriate reaction
would have been silence and crying.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, you're in a lot of pain. And again, look at this. If you bet on him, and I'll bet there's some bookies that are in a little bit of pain.
Fantasy
leagues. Yeah.
To win the NFL championship, they were 15-1. It jumped to 30-1 yesterday.
Well, they're going
to
be horrible.
3,000 to 1.
To win the AFC Championship, the AFC Conference, they were 7-1. They're now 15-1.
Well, they were never going to beat the Patriots anyway. So.
No, I agree. But to win the AFC South, they were minus 135. They're now plus 210.
How do you say it's not going to happen in odds?
Here's the cynical side of me. The cynical magnum is hoping, praying that the Colts sign Colin Kaepernick. Because let's remember,
painted into a corner,
the game that Mike Pence had his whole publicity stunt where he went to the game and players took a knee and he cost the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to this game to leave because players took a knee. Colin Kaepernick, Indianapolis Colts. Oh, it would be so perfect because it would be such a middle finger to Trump and Mike Pence.
Also, guys, remember the phone number. If you want to give us a call and join in on this banter, 702-876-1340.
That's always a good idea. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line against 702-876.
Well, now that I painted myself into a corner.
You painted yourself. I think you're right. The Colts are in a corner. They are in a corner. Situation.
But again, Chris, you blame what you're saying, general manager. Blame the old general manager. Chris Ballard's only been there since 2017. I mean, it's 2 years.
But the old general manager, how long was he there?
6 years.
All right. That's on both of them.
Okay. Like I said, overall, you can't really blame anybody. It's the nature of the game that you have to blame. And this happens. And I'm going to give Andrew Luck credit saying, you know what? You recognize your body. He has the wherewithal at 29 years old to say, you know what? I don't want to be debilitated physically as I get older. And I'm going to walk away from this game with a little bit of health. And Kelvin Johnson did the same exact thing with the Detroit Lions. My body's been through enough. Although the difference is Kelvin Johnson played for the Detroit Lions. I give you a pass if you want to retire after 2 years playing with them. But, you know, playing with Indianapolis, they did make the AFC Championship game 1 year
on
under.
On his shoulders. Also, speaking to Andrew Luck's character, it speaks to where he is as a person, because a lot of guys at this point would suffer through it. The fun of the game could be gone, but they'd suffer through it because they need the money. Like, they've blown all their money. They can't do anything else other than play football to make money. I think Andrew Luck's one of the people who has his head on his shoulders, and he's not relying on football as his main source of income. He's probably being smart with his money. He's not out there blowing millions of dollars doing nonsense.
He graduated Stanford with honors. I don't think you can do that. Yeah,
so to him, I think it really came down to, I don't love playing football anymore. In this sport, and I've said this to many people in my own private life, the sport of football is not something that you do for life just to get paid. You have to love football in order to go through what the football players go through on a yearly basis and that punishment you go through with your body. You have to love it.
You got
to
love the game.
And if you don't love it, you won't do it. And I respect Andrew Luck for being able to make that decision and not really care that the fans would boo him for it or that people would criticize him for it and making a decision for his life and his health. I applaud him 100% for that. So
I'm going to agree with you.
Kudos to you, Andrew.
I'm going to agree with you, Caleb, 100%. I mean, football is a game of sacrifice. You make a lot of sacrifices for the love of the game. You made one by staying with Bobby Houck at UNLV.
God! There's another thing that you don't know about, by the way. I want to let everybody know out there listening, if you guys want to start now, we're starting the Caleb Herring Vacation Fund. We're looking for a sponsor for him. If you guys have not seen it, it's on Twitter.
That's right. I tweeted
Go ahead and
that
follow
a while ago.
him. He is looking for a sponsor for his vacation,
the vacation sponsorship, so he can be Pickle Herring.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much.
I mean, it's just something
that when I was in Sweden.
Pickled herring. It's good stuff.
It's an amazing snack.
Like I said, we're still looking for a name, and we got to come up with one between all of us. We're going to kind of have a Raiders report each week. I think it's apropos considering they're coming here. And being that Caleb got a chance in NFL camps and played at the highest level next to the NFL, we're going to have him do the report, but we're looking for a name of it. And initially, I thought pickled herring, but like saying drunk Caleb is about to talk about the Raiders. What do we want to call the segment?
Chance of Caleb getting a phone call from the XFL?
I'll tell you right now. I'll get you. We'll come up with a pair of tickets to a UNLV game for someone that comes up with a name that we actually use on the show. If I come up with it, I'm going to be at the games anyway.
If you're watching Facebook Live,
We're looking for some.
Apparently, Andrew Luck's father is the president of the XFL.
Oh, geez.
Holy crap. Wow. Andrew Luck to the XFL.
I saw that on Twitter.
Andrew Luck to the XFL.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
That maybe as an owner.
Saying it today on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if, that, if that's accurate or not, oh, but it was something I saw on Twitter. But if it's if that's the case.
The guys, listen, we got to get to since aliens touching down on Earth.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you right
Andrew
now.
Andrew Luck to the XFL.
You don't think he was able to get protected in Indianapolis? Put him in the XFL.
Oliver Francis Luck.
I mean, seriously. My God. Oliver, running for his life in the XFL.
It's a crime
for Luck story.
Yeah. Seriously. It's legit. Oliver Francis Luck, American business executive, former quarterback, currently the CEO and the commissioner of the XFL. Put on those tinfoil hats, everybody.
There we go. Listen, now you are listening to Adeline. I'm Brian Feldman. Our producer, Chris Magno Chapman, directly in front of me. To my left on your radio dial is Caleb Herring. And, of course, Jose Sudden Death Vellante on my right, taking care of everything Facebook Lies-wise. Again, the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio, 702-876-1340. Go ahead and give us a call. Be happy to put you on. Tony Sanchez coming up in a little bit. Also, Jim Gemma is coming up in a little bit. If we get a chance, we'll talk a little bit more about the Andrew Luck situation, but I think what you're saying, you know, he retired because he just doesn't, man, he doesn't have the body to do it anymore, and it's as simple as that. Will he ever play again? Well, hey, 2 years go by, he gets his body healthy, somebody throws 10, 12 million bucks at him. That's not a bad business decision, but again, I'm not making those plans. I think he's done for good. I really do. I think he's a smart guy, and no question, he's got a huge career after football. There's probably 20 or 30 options for that guy where he'll make seven figures in his life because using his name and his brand alone.
It's gonna work for NASA.
Probably. Wouldn't surprise me at all. You know what he should do? He should run for president. Anyway, listen, let's move over to Nightcap.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
You know, the Golden Knights rookie camp roster, it was announced on Thursday and includes a lot of the players that could compete for spots come opening night for the Vegas Golden Knights. Guys like Cody Glass, who I know people have been waiting a long time to see what he can do. I was waiting on Suzuki. I think Mags was too before, of course, he was asked to exit stage left. But Mags, Cody Glass, one of the guys, is that one of the guys? Could we see him on the opening night roster? Is it possible? I just don't see it when I crunch all the numbers. I don't see him there.
I'm not sure. Well, I don't think he's better than Cody Eakin at this point. And Cody Eakin's probably your third-line center.
And you want to talk about a guy starting the year with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah,
Cody Eakin's not getting replaced.
I don't foresee them using Cody Glass as their fourth-line center. Remember, we used to call it the old checking line.
Yeah, that's a bruising line.
You know, that's a line with Will Carrier and Ryan Reeves on it. So I can't imagine Cody Glass being on that line. But you know what? If you want to protect your first-ever draft pick, the sixth overall, why not put him on a line with Ryan Reeves? I do think he's got a shot out of camp. I don't think he's the guy that they would bring, that they would put on the roster and not play.
Is he going to beef up, Chris? Is he ever going to get thicker?
You know, he's a tall, lanky, skinny kid, but
he's got the height.
When you watch him on the ice, you could see why the Golden Knights took him sixth overall. And you know, they're taking their time with him, and fortunately, they've been blessed to where they've had the ability to take their time. But I don't think Cody Glass will start the year in Vegas.
He's going to be in Chicago.
I think he'll start the year in Chicago. Yeah, now, there's going to be a couple defensemen who have an opportunity to start the year here. And Jimmy Schultz is actually on that rookie camp roster. So I think that's a good sign. Fans are going to get to see him play really early. And I think...
Who are you most excited to see? I wanted to hear that from you. You're there more than anybody that I know. Who are you most excited to see?
Are we talking for the entire team? Or
No, the rookies. When this rookie camp, who do you think is going to come out of it and is a guy that people might not be expecting to see, Chris, that's going to shine, that you think is going to shine?
I like Nick Hague, but I don't think he's going to be the guy coming out. I think Jimmy Schultz will be the guy who starts the year in Vegas. I think Jake Bischoff has a good shot. But... Zach Whitecloud is another guy. You know, I like all four of them, and all four of them are very different players.
Zach Whitecloud just sounds like a hockey player.
Well,
I like
and you know, Zach is from Manitoba. Yeah. He's a Winnipeg guy. Obviously, this team has a lot of Winnipeg connections. But he's a guy who I think has... I think if I was going to go in order, I would say Jimmy Schultz, Zach Whitecloud, Nick Hague, and then Jake Bischoff. But Jake Bischoff start of the year in Vegas. Now, he didn't have an opportunity to play.
What about Keith Primo's relative? You're not excited to see him?
You know what? I am.
Me too.
But he's only 17, so we've got...
That's why I'm excited to see him. He's a young kid, Chris, with all kinds of upside.
And I think he's going to be part of that rookie. Mason is his name. I talked to him in Vancouver for the draft, and he's going to have an opportunity in that rookie showcase. But, you know, we were talking... I think we talked about it last week, that this team, they don't have the depth in the minors because they didn't have that opportunity to build a farm system. So a lot of these young kids, they're going to be here before you know it. So, it's tough because I think Jimmy Schultz is probably the most ready. We saw him play last year. White Cloud got an opportunity to play 2 years ago. But I do think we're going to start to see, because next year John Merrill's contract is up. Derek England again on a one-year contract. Nick Holden.
Jake Bischoff, what about him?
Next year, we're going to see a lot of new guys on the blue line.
I agree with you 100%. Listen, real quick before we go to break, Chris, I get asked this question a lot, especially this year. When and do you think this could be the year that we see a drop-off in the play of Marc-Andre Fleury?
I think we started to see a little bit.
We did.
Last year.
Nobody wants to admit to it,
no,
but we did.
No, but the reality is...
38 this year, right?
No, 36.
30. I thought it was 30. Okay.
Derek England's 38.
38.
They have run. They've played him into the ground, and in order for Marc-Andre Fleury to be the guy that the Golden Knights need him to be, they need to get something out of Garrett Sparks and Malcolm Subban. And I really like Malcolm Subban. I think it's unfortunate that a lot of the games that he lost last year, the team just didn't score enough goals for him to win the games. But I think they have to play those guys a little bit more because you can't play Fleury 65 games.
I agree with you 100%. And my big thing is, what I compare it to, Chris, is I compare it to pitching a guy on 3 days rest all season long. It's what they did to him last year. And
pitchers can pitch on 3 days rest. Bob Gibson is pitching every other day.
That's the bottom line. Pitchers can pitch on 3 days of rest. They do it in the postseason. But that's the only time you really ever see pitchers do that.
You want to give the guy breaks when you have the opportunity. 100%. Home games against teams from the East. Home games against L.A., Anaheim, because they're really bad.
Right.
You know, that's when you play these
Malcolm
guys.
Malcolm Subban, give the other guys a shot. Well, I agree 100%.
I think Subban could be really good. They just have to give him an opportunity.
And this year, Marc-Andre Fleury, this team really has potential to be great. And save him, man, for the biggest games, because I think he's still got it in him. I just don't think he's got it in him to play, two-thirds of an 82-game season anymore. I think you got to give him more of a rest. Listen, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side with Tony Sanchez, head coach of the UNLV Rebels, as they get ready for their first game coming up next Saturday at Sam Boyd Stadium. Pretty interesting. And also Jim Jem is waiting down the road as well as we do the Las Vegas Aviators report. They're getting ready next week for their final regular season homestand, and it looks like the Aviators are going to make the postseason. I don't want to jinx them, but they are playing great ball. And if you haven't been out to see an Aviators game, man, you want to talk about a hit parade. I think the top five batters on their team combined have over 100 home runs this year, which is pretty damn amazing. We'll be back. You are listening to Adam Line. This is Fox Sports Radio. All right, it is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. They have two happy hours every day, and of course, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And hey, we're only a couple of weeks away from our Monday night football parties up there. I'm actually going to Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow to talk with them, get everything set up, and get us going. But all right, Blazin', what's blazing is the PI rule in football. The new, you know why it's blazing? Because I was very concerned about it. I think we all were, of games being severely extended, because now you have the ability to be able to review pass interference penalties.
Yeah.
And I think, Caleb, it's a good rule, and I think that it's something that was important for the league. And the cool thing is we're seeing that the officials, for the most part, are getting it right. And what I really love about the ability to be able to review the pass interference penalty is because I think we all clearly, as an audience and as fans need it clearly defined. And now we're seeing there have been, as of now, this is as of Friday night. I don't know how many took place yesterday, but after the Lions game, there were 40 pass interference penalties that were reviewed, either booth review or reviewed requests by the coaches. Only five to this point have been overturned. Four coaches' reviews and one booth review have overturned calls or non-calls on the field. And I think we're seeing that the referees are getting it right for the most part, and I'm glad to see that. And that's what I think they wanted to see. But the five calls that were overturned were blatant overturned calls, and that's what they're doing. It's only calls that are really blatant that are getting overturned.
I think the rule is a very subjective rule. Pass interference in the NFL is a very subjective thing. In football in general, it's subjective to the heat of the moment kind of thing. So one official could see it different than another official. But I don't think you're going to see nearly as much of this as you did in the preseason. I think it was a feel-out period during the preseason to see how much
the coaches are testing.
Yeah, and during the season, I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal even as it has been, because it hasn't been that big of a deal. But I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal as far as the gameplay, the flow of the game when the season comes. I think people are probably going to forget about this. Unless it's something egregious, i.e. New Orleans, something like that, or, excuse me, Minnesota, whatever the pass interference game was. But something like that, you go to review, but I don't think you're going to see it that much during the season. But no,
I don't think you'll see it as much as you've seen in the preseason, but I still think it will make a difference at crucial times in games. Because, again, last year, one of the conference championship games was affected by a no-call pass interference penalty, and you just can't have that. And I like the fact that they're at least putting that into it and using replay for everything it is. Listen, we'll finish up Blazing a little bit. Right now, Tony Sanchez, head coach of UNLV, on the line with us, Caleb, so we want to get him on as quickly as possible. Interrupting a Sunday morning for the poor guy, but unfortunately, that's when our show's on, so we have no choice. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, doing great, Coach. Appreciate you joining us on a Sunday morning. I know getting ready, got to be excited, chomping at the bit. Less than a week away from game one. How's everything going?
You know what? It's been a great camp. You know, guys put in a lot of really good work. I mean, really, from the end of the season through spring football, this fall camp, things are going really well. Got a lot of good leadership, and you know, it's an older veteran group. We turned so many guys with playing experience, and that's really been reflected in the way the guys are coming to work every day.
Tony, what right now at this point? You're less than a week away. I know right now it's all a matter of fine tuning. Everything's in place. You've got the system going. But what would you say? Two areas. One, the area that you're happy with, where the team is at right now, and the area you see with 6 days to go that needs the most improvement.
You know, the thing I'm the happiest about is just the depth. I mean, you know, finally having a defensive line rotation, you know, being too deep in that linebacking core. I mean, a solid two deep where you're going to actually see, you know, the guys that don't start the first snap of the game are probably going to play as many snaps as the guys that do. I mean, we have never had that before. You know, offensively, love the depth of the receiving core. I think it's the deepest group of receivers we've had. Quarterbacks are the same. You know, again, love the running back depth and O-line. So, really, really, you know, excited about the depth of the team. And then the areas to work on, I think it's the same for every team. I mean, you know, you watched some of the games yesterday, and you just see the turnovers and, you know, the muffed punt returns and just some of the penalties and the false starts. And, you know, it happens to everyone. So really these next couple days, just really getting rid of all those little things, all those little intangibles can get in the way of having success.
So with just a week to go, Coach, I know you just got – pretty much finishing up a really tough camp off season. You've been really busy, but just a week to go. How do you address some of those problems? I know practices have been, you know, back when in the day when there was 2 days and more live opportunities, it's not as easy to get live reps as it was once upon a time. So how, with a week left, do you try to minimize those problems coming into week one?
Well, it kind of started with last night. I mean, so if you're a fan watching, you know, the mock game, you're kind of like, hey, what's going on out here? But it's 45 scripted plays, and you know, you're doing sudden change turnovers. You're, you know, I mean, you know, towards the end of the game, the 4 minute O, and you're not trying to score. You're trying to, you know, you fall on the ground, get the first down, and, you know, then take a knee afterwards. You're, you know, you're working at your punt return, kick return after safety, kick with the safety. Just all those little things that you might see. One of the big things you're doing is making sure that the sideline management, everybody's in tune and focused. We're getting the right personnel groups out there. There's good communication going on. So that was a lot of work last night. And then over these next couple of days, it's just working your ball security drills, making sure that, you know, everyone's at the line and set on time, that, you know, you don't have any fumbled snaps, that, you know, D-line's on size. Just really harping those things over and over and over. We've done it throughout the course of camp and really buckling it down this last couple of days.
So, Coach, with scripted practice, I've had it a couple different ways where coaches will come in and talk about the script, and they'll let you know this is what we're going to do. And then there's coaches that say, no, you know, we want the players to be just as caught off guard by the sudden change as they would be in real life. What's your philosophy when doing those mock games? Because to the average person, the average fan, it does seem kind of like, you know, scripted is not really a way to get a practice done, but there is a reason for it. So what's your take on letting the players know that it's scripted versus, you know, letting them be shocked by the changes that are going on in practice?
Yeah, well, you do both. So, like, in when we're doing our live scrimmages, it's organically kind of happening. But then last night, they don't know exactly the order they're coming in, but they know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, obviously, we've kind of walked through, hey, these are the current things that are going to happen. But it's no different than game week. I mean, that's kind of what your walkthrough on Thursdays is. You're going to walk through those things with Southern Utah that's coming up Thursday, and so that'll be a scripted deal. Now, it won't be scripted on Saturday, but they'll be prepared. The whole thing is talking through those situations, and as you become a more mature football player, when the situations do arise, you kind of default to your training, and you've been there before. So I think sometimes it's good to do it organically, and sometimes it's good to script it.
Coach, a couple of things right now, talking about UNLV, the near future, and, of course, the upcoming future. Three things that you talk about. When you're talking about the immediate future, there's a name, Armani Rogers, healthy, ready to go, and looks like you're going to get a full season out of him, a couple years of experience, huge. And then when you're talking about the future, how about the Fertitta Football Complex and Allegiant Stadium?
Yeah, so excited about, you know, Armani being healthy and ready to go. You know, he was that way last year. You know, knock on wood, we got to keep healthy the entire season. I think we will. I think he's more mature. I think, you know, I mean, it's football. You never know what's going to happen. But I think he's, you know, understanding, you know, how to protect himself, sliding, getting out of bounds, not taking unnecessary hits. But at the same time, being an athlete, making the plays when he can. So he has a full body of work. I mean, we were able to keep him in for, you know, all 12 games. I think it'll be a year that'll just, you know, get the Rebel fans just rolling. It could be really exciting. No reason we can't compete for the West this year. And then as far as Fertitta Football Complex, I mean, God, I walked through it on Friday, and the team meeting rooms, position meeting rooms, most of them are already done, just ready to put the furniture in. You know, they were putting up all the artwork in the weight room the other day. I mean, it's really getting close to being done. So I anticipate in the next 3 or 4 weeks us having the opportunity to move in there. And then Allegiant Stadium, I mean, every day you drive by that thing and you see the progress that's been made, and we all know it's coming in 2020, which is exciting. But our focus right now is we got to take care of what we're doing at Sam Boyd Stadium in these next 12 games. All that other stuff, you know, moving in the Fertitta Football Complex and Allegiant Stadium, that's all really, really exciting. But that's not what's most important right now. What's most important in Southern Utah, it's week one, is taking care of business and, you know, getting this program moving in a positive direction. So when those things do come online, they're coming online with a winning football program.
Coach, final question for you. Obviously, this is a very pivotal year for you, for UNLV. Your expectations and maybe the expectations that have been brought to your attention for this season?
You know, honestly, it's no different than any year I've been here. I mean, it's, you know, I'm a ball coach. You know, I don't think about those things. You go out and get your guys ready, and, you know, we fully anticipated having a great year last year, and it got derailed a little bit with some of the things that went on, you know, injury-wise and such, right? But it is what it is, you know. We got a good football team. We've played good football over the years. We just got to learn how to play it consistently, and that's what we're planning on doing. We're going to go out there and we're going to have a great season.
Now, Coach, they start Southern Utah this coming Saturday at Sam Boyd Stadium. Get out there, get your tickets. And if you get season tickets this year, they are giving you a discount at Allegiant Stadium next year. So go ahead and get started. Coach Tony Sanchez, UNLV Rebels, look very forward to the season, Coach, and we wish you the best of luck.
Appreciate you guys. Go Rebs.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach Tony Sanchez. Always good talking to him. A great guy, Caleb.
Great guy.
And honestly, wish him nothing but success. And I want to ask you now personally, was that okay? Was I okay?
Was I subdued? You behaved yourself.
I was subdued.
I'm proud of you.
Well, good boy.
I'm a little bit, you know, the bottom line is, Caleb is still a D1 athlete sitting right next to me, and I'm with arm's length of him. You think I'm going to disappoint him right now? I
mean, yeah, that wouldn't be a great
idea. Not a great idea.
You'd be in a show called Out of Line. He might challenge
Asia to a one-on-one game. I am not challenging Caleb to a match inside of the octagon.
No, I'm
smarter than that. See, so anyways, yeah. Let's finish up with our Blazing here. And as again, Caleb, what do you got, man? I still think, like I said, to me the PI is Blazing. What about you guys?
The PI is Blazing. So I'm getting into my Olympic mode, my Summer Olympics. It's next year, but I'm getting there. But. And I like kind of changing the pace with everything, because football, basketball, that's kind of the mainstream thing. So I like to go like to different stories. So Noah Lyles, he's an American track and field runner. He just, at Paris, at the Diamond League meet, That's the name of the meet, I guess, is what they call it.
It's not going to be Simone for the fifth straight week?
No.
Okay.
She took the week off.
I like how she goes into the Olympic mode because I love track.
I love
and field.
I really do. So I love it. So Noah Lyles is an American. He's so America. He just ran a 19.65 200 meter dash.
Can he play quarterback?
That's pretty good.
Indianapolis is looking for one. I'm lobbying.
The previous record was held by one Usain Bolt, who ran it in a 19.73. So,
that's pretty damn fast, eight hundredths
of a second faster than Usain Bolt.
That's insane.
So that is the GOAT, Usain Bolt, having one of his records beaten. Now, Usain Bolt is still the GOAT. I'm not saying that this Noah Lyles will be the GOAT, but it's especially impressive because the rest of the heats during this Olympic meet were considerably slow time. So the track was slow that day. And on a slow track day, this guy broke Usain Bolt's record. Not going to project him to be an Olympic gold medalist or anything like that.
But he is blazing.
But he's blazing, literally and figuratively. On the track, he was blazing with a 19.65 second 200-meter dash, and he's blazing in this segment. So Noah Lyles.
Kudos. I like it. What do you got, Mags?
I'm going to go with the Little League World Series. Now, it was just announced that the Little League World Series will be expanding to 20 teams. Now there's 16.
They're going
to add two more international teams and two more American teams. Why is that relevant here in Nevada? Well, Nevada has been taken out of the region that has the Hawaii, who are playing right now in the third place game. They were the West champs, but also the two California teams and an Arizona team. Nevada is now going to be in a region with Utah, Wyoming, and Montana.
Ooh.
Among those three teams, only two Little League World Series appearances, one for Nevada, of course, 5 years ago, and one for Montana back in 2011. Wyoming and Utah have never made the Little League World Series. So that's actually really, really good news for the Little League teams here in Southern Nevada because a trip to Williamsport just got a whole lot easier.
That's right.
And shout out to Ed Graney from the RJ for writing that this morning.
That's blazing. What do you got for us, Jose?
Jeez, I don't know how I'm going to top those last two, man. That's tough. I'm just going to stick with local news here. Since the Vegas Golden Knights seem to get all of the press and all of the honors about everything, I'm going to give shout-outs to our other local teams here. The Las Vegas Aviators are number one in the league, as we were just talking about right now, in the PCL. Not only that, the Las Vegas Aces have already clinched a playoff berth, and they're only one game away from being the best record in the league as well. Las Vegas Lights came home last night, got the 1-0 victory, Tommy Olsen's ninth clean sheet of the season as well. So I thought I'd stick with local. I guess locally we're blazing as well.
Las Vegas is blazing.
I like it. Las Vegas locals. Listen, let's take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to have Jim Gemma, the Director of Media Relations for the Las Vegas Aviators, joining the show. We've got one homestand left. There's four games, man, and that is it. And then hopefully the postseason. And pretty cool, man. It seems like new franchises in Las Vegas, at least in the last couple of years, do pretty well. So hopefully when we get that basketball franchise, the baseball franchise, and of course next year, the football franchise in the Oakland Raiders, who, by the way, are undefeated in the preseason. Don't get excited about that. That means absolutely nothing. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk about that right here on Out of Line when we get back. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM here in the Cardinal Financial Fox Sports Studio in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman. I've got Caleb Herring sitting next to me to the left on your radio dial. Jose Valente working the camera, helping out in studio, and of course, producer Chris Magnum Chapman.
You know why I'm playing Wu-Tang?
Yes, sir.
Because I love this.
You've got the 10th member of the Wu-Tang Clan on hold.
We do. Media Relations Director Jim Gemma of the Las Vegas Aviators, I should say, and let me clarify this, the first place Las Vegas Aviators. I saw them punch a nose in front in their last home game on Wednesday night, and here they are a couple days later, three games in front. Jim, it looks like we're going to see some postseason. Don't want to jinx them, but it's looking pretty good.
Brian, thanks for having me on. As always, the Aviators picked the right time to have a season-high eight-game winning streak. They're now 79-52, tied for the best record in the PCL with the Round Rock Express, who's back as an affiliate with the Houston Astros this year.
Jimmy, you know, looking at before the show, Magnum was pointing out to me, they are 18 games over 500 on the road, 8 games over 500 at home. So it seems like if they have to go on the road at any point in time in the postseason, that might be an advantage.
Well, the franchise record for most road wins in a season is 44, and the team has 42. So they've played great on the road. they've played a lot better here at Las Vegas Ballpark. I thought we'd have a really great home record this year with the visiting team staying at the Red Rock Casino. It's kind of turned that way a little bit the last couple homestands.
A great place for them to stay. They're close to the ballpark, but they're at the Red Rock, so it's been a lot of fun, Jim. I've got to tell you, this year, from a fan's perspective, I have really enjoyed myself. There is no question. This is one of the most. It is the most beautiful minor league facility I've ever seen in the country. It's incredible. I think I've been to 11 or 12 of them now, and there's nothing like the Las Vegas ballpark. Still a couple of home games left. Right now, they're on the road wrapping up a 4-game set in Tacoma. They head to Albuquerque for 4 games. And then they wrap it up with a 4-game homestand against Tacoma starting Friday night, and that will be the final firework display of the year.
Yeah, the final four games of the regular season, as you said, will be home over Labor Day weekend. The fireworks show and the fan appreciation night, our last jersey night, will be a week from Saturday. And then the last game of the year, the entire league will play at day game on Labor Day, September 2nd. The PCL playoffs will then start on Wednesday, September 4th. If it ended today, Las Vegas would travel to Sacramento. Who's going to win the Pacific North? That will be 3 out of 5. And if Las Vegas is fortunate enough to hang on, the Game 3 of the playoffs will be Friday, September 6th here in Las Vegas.
That is awesome. Looking forward to it, Jimmy. And finally, tickets to the postseason. As soon as they knew they would qualify, they'd go on sale? Or, again, you got to make it to the Friday game. So how would that work?
Yeah, they've been on sale as far as the season ticket holders, as far as their option to purchase. So they'll be on sale this week. I know an announcement's coming tomorrow or Tuesday, so the tickets will be on sale to the general public this week.
That is awesome, and I'll try to see if we can get Jimmy to give us 2 tickets to give away to the playoff game if they make it, but let's get there first. Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas Aviators. Jimmy, always appreciate you on the phone and appreciate the support of the Aviators. Love the team and love you guys, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. It was great to see you at the ballpark the other night with Jacob.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Jimmy took care of me and Jacob, hooked him up with the media credentials like the olden days, back when it was the Jake and Dad show, and me and Jake got to hang out, so that was pretty cool. Las Vegas Aviators Report is brought to you by the Las Vegas Aviators, playing at the brand-new Las Vegas Ballpark out in Summerlin. If you haven't been there, you got 4 more chances in the regular season. Please check this out. It is a great time. It's like going to a major league ballpark that's been shrunk down to a 10,000-seat facility. It is really, really cool. Let's move on, man. We got a few more minutes left in the show real quickly, and want to talk about, as you mentioned, Jose, the Las Vegas Aces, man. They are for real. They got their last regular season home game next Saturday, ironically the same night as the first UNLV game. So I may be going to the first UNLV game simply because the Aces are already in the playoffs, so we'll get to see them in the postseason. But got to give kudos to them, man. What a great season they've had. Been to a few games. Mags, you've been to more than all of us, but it's been a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, I mean, they need to find a way to win on the road against good teams, because they've lost in Los Angeles, they've lost in Phoenix, they've lost the other night to Connecticut. Washington, I think, is coming up.
Not only that, they've had losses at home that they shouldn't have had. Yeah.
Well, they need. In their defense, though, they did go 3 weeks without Asia Wilson. So that's tough.
But
you
still,
know,
but their issue is to an extent, Chris, it's the guard play.
You start fast.
And you've got to have consistent guard play, especially from like Kelsey Plum.
She's been stepping up and scoring.
But I'm saying you've got to have that through the postseason. She has also had some serious lulls that have really hurt this team.
However, I think what she gives you defensively is something.
No question.
She is one of the best defenders in the WNBA.
Oh,
I mean, she's hands down fantastic. I think
she knows what flavor gum the player she's playing with does every game.
She was a scorer in college. That was great.
Why did you do it?
Oh, wow.
Why did you do that? Why would you
do that? If you're out there listening right now, the challenge is
by the way, she threw out the first pitch at the Aviators game the other night.
I heard she did pretty good.
She brought the heat.
I wish I would have known. I would always go to see Kelsey Plum in street clothes. Listen, guys, we are just about out of time. Last thing is the baseball, the National League wild card. If you guys haven't seen that, man, there's like 6 teams. That is going to be a lot of fun to watch down the stretch. The Mets cooled off a bit, Chris, and I know they're your squad, but the New York Mets are for real, and mainly because when you've got a pitching staff, man, especially starting pitching like they do, you can make noise at the end of the year.
Yeah, but if you want to talk about baseball, I have to mention that the Dodgers and the Yankees are locked in a series right now, and I think it might be a preview. Is it a preview of
the World Series?
Of the World Series.
I think most experts would say yes.
They're split right now, 1-1. They got another one tonight, so we'll see. I mean, go Dodgers, go Blue,
Yankees.
Right?
I'm not saying either one. Listen, you can catch the show every Sunday. We are here 8 to 9 a.m. I'm Brian Feldman. I'm joined in studio again by Caleb Herring, Jose Valonte, and Chris Magnum Chapman. Appreciate all you guys. Appreciate everyone for listening. Definitely for Tony Sanchez to hooking us up on what was supposed to be a day off, and he's here early in the morning. I shouldn't say here, but on the phone. We appreciate it. Of course, Jim Gemma and the Las Vegas Aviators, man. Check out the game. We'll be back next Sunday. NFL football season approaches, and don't forget, man, you can go on Facebook Live and give us an idea for Caleb's segment for the Raiders. We're looking for a name. We will be back next week. Fox Sports Radio, Cardinal Financial. We want to appreciate the title sponsor. And again, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.